From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by CertaPro Painters. John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Good morning.
Hey there.
How are you?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Can you believe it's just next week?
It is.
Yeah. I can't believe this. We'll be here like we always are. We're going to be in for a Glover next week, aren't we?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve, we will be doing 1 to 5 p.m.
I got something that I bet you will surprise you.
Okay.
Cori Bush.
Yeah?
She's leaving Congress, right?
Yes.
I was executive director of the Democratic Party. I've worked for a bunch of Democrats, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. Been to every political event you can imagine.
Yeah?
I never met Cori Bush in my life.
Never met Cori Bush?
Never have met her. Have you ever met this Valentina Gomez?
I have not. She moved, apparently, right?
Well, she wants to go run in Texas now. She was the fire-throwing, you know, insulting lady on, Twitter. Wouldn't that be a good way to describe her?
Yeah, she ran for Secretary of State, finished fourth or fifth,
sixth.
Something like that.
Sixth. Yeah, and now she's moving to Texas, which I'm sure the people of Texas are thrilled.
Well, good for her.
I wonder if Cori Bush will announce she's moving somewhere else to run.
No. What's she going to do, though?
I don't know. What do you think?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
She's got just a couple of weeks left as a member of Congress, and then to the next thing.
She's not unknown. I mean, first of all, she toppled the Clay family's dynasty of, what, 5 or 6 decades?
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, she had been in there with the squad, what, AOC and Ilhan Omar and stuff, and really made a name for herself nationally and circles.
I had heard that the squad members were not too fond of Cori Bush for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah.
I
mean, who knows?
It's
a fairly small subgroup of the Democratic caucus.
Right? Yeah.
You know, 6-7 people maybe.
Right. It just is politics different because, you know, back in the day, you and I used to go to the ham breakfast, and I guess you guys went to Lincoln Days.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go to Hannibal Days. And, you know, parties used to play such a huge role.
They did.
That you were at there were a lot of party-like events where you got to meet everybody and see everybody. It's changed a lot where those mass gatherings of groups of candidates together, just it doesn't happen like it used to.
Yeah, I mean, Republicans still have their annual Lincoln Day celebration. It rotates between St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield. But you're right. The parties are not as powerful as they once were. So much of that is because of the campaign finance laws that have been passed. But parties do not carry the clout they once did.
Yeah, and now in Missouri, candidates raise the money to themselves. They don't put it through the parties. There's no such party apparatus or infrastructure like there used to be in the past. Have you done the Christmas party circuit this year?
A few, not too many.
Yeah.
I'm not very popular out there, so I don't get invited to a lot of places.
Well, I've noticed at my Christmas party circuit this time, people are a lot thinner than they've been in years past.
Cool.
I'm seeing a lot of Christmas parties that I'm going to.
Olympic or whatever.
Yeah, Olympic.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I'm noticing is there's less and less food. Like I've been at a couple of parties over the last week or so where in the past they're a yearly tradition. There'd be big buffets of food and people'd be lined up and some large, you know, people would be there eating.
Yes.
I've been to a couple of parties this year, and the buffets are just kind of sitting there with food not being eaten.
Well, that's terrible.
Well, it's good. We're healthier.
It's not good.
But I just think people are thinner. I'm telling you, people are getting thinner.
100 years ago,
being
a little corpulent was, you know, a status symbol.
Right.
I was born too late.
Let me ask you this. When you were a kid, your mom used to take you to JCPenney to get your clothes. She didn't have to tell the lady, where's the little boy section of the husky area? Remember when they used the word husky?
Yeah. I still shop in the Husky section.
Do they still have a Husky section?
Yeah, buddy. It's you know, if you're
now it's called Big and Tall,
if
right?
If you're endowed and as I am, then yeah, you need the
remember
you need the
walking
Husky
in
section.
There and be like, "Where is the Husky section?" It's no wonder we're all in therapy on antidepressants. They're calling us Husky.
People are running around out there to the Husky section and.
All right, so quickly, you used a word in the last segment.
Yeah, buddy.
I had to go up and look up.
Uh-huh.
Corpulent.
Yeah, I used it correctly.
I didn't even know that was a word.
It is a word.
Large or bulky body.
Yep.
Portly, stout, fat. That'd be another word they used to use. Portly.
Portly.
Yeah. Where's the portly section?
Yeah.
He's a bit portly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Husky, portly. Yeah. You were a little husky kid?
No, I was not. I was a very skinny kid.
Yeah.
They called me the stork. On the basketball team.
Wow. Hey, every week at this time, Hancock and Kelly has our political segment. And boy, John, is there a lot to talk about. This was going to be a boring slide to Christmas. We have the outgoing Biden administration, which has been rather quiet since the stunning defeat that took place in November.
Yep.
And you had the Trump administration, who was going through its nomination process, moving right along. Congress had to get together and pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open through the end of the year.
And then, boom.
It was considered to be mainly a ministerial function. And then, boom, Elon Musk goes to his Twitter the other day, as if he's the president of the United States.
Yep.
He starts saying, I'm going to start primarying people. This should be taken out, etc. This continuing resolution had in it the money, like we talked about earlier, for disaster relief throughout the South as a result of the hurricanes. It had some money in there. It had a lot of pork barrel, to be quite honest with you.
It had
money in there mainly for rural America and farmers. So all of a sudden, Farm Bureau, one of the biggest advocates of Donald Trump as well, they were very worried about immigrants. They were very worried about boys playing girls' sports, are now suddenly out there saying, what's going on? You guys are going to keep this money from happening. The Republican Party's in free fall. They can't pass a continuing resolution. The government may shut down tonight. And this guy's not even in charge yet. What's going on?
Well, what's going on is the Republican Party is, they don't fear Democrats any longer. They fear one another. And what's happened politically in our country is primary elections, which have a teeny tiny turnout, are determining who holds offices for members of Congress, for the U.S. Senate. And so these folks that are in Washington, in Congress, are scared that they're going to invite upon themselves primary challenges in their next election. And in the House, the next election is always two or fewer years away. So you have a guy like Elon Musk who throws a lot of money around, has a lot of money, has a tremendous influence over the incoming administration. And when he starts threatening primaries, those folks listen. So right now, Mike Johnson, who's presiding as speaker over the smallest Republican majority in history, is trying to piece together some mechanism to pass some kind of a spending bill that would include raising the debt ceiling to keep the government open. And whether he can navigate that within the next several hours, time will tell.
After January 20th,
yep.
When we get a new administration, the House will still be Republican, but there'll be some relief as well for the Republicans. They'll have control of the United States Senate.
Correct.
Will that make it any easier? Probably not, right?
Well, make it somewhat easier. So, because we're working in a situation now where Johnson has a narrow majority and the Democrats control the Senate. So, in order to get a deal worked out, all of those people have to come into play and they have to be dealt with, and you've got to put together winning coalitions to pass legislation. That's what Johnson's trying to do, classic, congressional leadership role, and he's dealing in a divided government. So, nobody's going to like everything that's in a particular package of spending, but you do have to raise a debt limit. Now, Trump is advocating, and I'm kind of intrigued at this idea, Trump is advocating getting rid of the debt limit altogether.
Which is what some Democrats have argued.
For years. And because it is kind of this dance that we go through, seems like a couple times every year, they have to raise the debt ceiling limit. And so if you did away with that, we wouldn't have the kind of drama we're seeing now. But the other side of that coin is, historically, the debt ceiling limit has been used to get actual legislation through that you couldn't pass otherwise, because the debt limit had to pass. And so members of Congress have been able to utilize that to get legislation through attached to the debt limit that they couldn't pass otherwise. And that, there's some value in that, I think.
Do you think this Elon Musk presence, fourth rail of government now, is this a long-term thing, or is it likely that he and the future president will be in a squabble soon, and this power he has will be squandered?
It could. I can't think of another instance where we've had that kind of influence of a non-confirmed, non-cabinet member of a White House, sort of an informal advisor off to the side. I can't think of another time where we've had something like this. And might Donald Trump and Elon Musk get into a feud and break up? I think that's entirely possible.
John, after the last election, there was a lot of talking. You and I talked about it, how working people seem to be moving to the Republican Party a little bit. You started to see Josh Hawley and others really trying to be advocates of working voices.
Yeah, labor, organized labor.
Isn't it, completely contrary to say you're the advocate of working people and then have the world's richest man making your policy that affects what your administration's going to do?
Well, there's an awful lot of Republicans out there that are big fans of Elon Musk. But
isn't it a contradictory message?
Well, not for them.
We're seeing people jump up and down over the assassination of a CEO. At the end of the day, Elon Musk is no more the he's a robber baron just like the rest of them.
Well, he certainly has very close and significant ties to the federal government. I mean, if you look at what the federal government has poured into SpaceX, for example, or the encouragement of the federal government to get into the electric car business and the tax incentives and so forth. Yeah, Musk's business empire, and it's vast, he's the wealthiest person in the world, is due in no small part to United States federal government spending. So in that sense, it is a little unusual that he would have this kind of oversized role with an incoming administration.
Ready to take a victory lap? The Wall Street Journal has an article this week.
Saw that.
About how the Biden administration, and this being the people closest around the president, including his wife and folks in the inner circle, what they were doing to keep Joe Biden afloat. And as he has continued to diminish, this is something that, we saw and you predicted. This article is pretty startling on how badly the president has deteriorated.
Well, I mean, we all saw it.
Yeah.
And they did try to hide it from us, and they would send out their surrogates on the talk shows to say, oh, he's the sharpest he's ever been, and he's more engaged than any president in history, and blah, 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 and all of it was bogus. And I think when you look back in Monday morning quarterback this last election, I think the fact that Biden stayed in that race as long as he did is probably what cost the Democrats an opportunity to win the White House. Now, his numbers were so bad that maybe nobody could have defeated Donald Trump in November. But certainly by Biden hanging in there as long as he did, he got out, in July?
Yeah.
Something like that. He really handicapped, kneecapped his own party, and now all the dirty little truths are coming out.
No doubt about it. Hey, let's shift to some local politics, John. We continue to document just the stunning issues going on inside the city of St. Louis that continue to develop, and then obviously something that's a new brand of politics that's taken over in St. Louis County, which is almost a circus-like atmosphere. And this is now revolving around the prosecutor's office, something that drove some of the biggest chaos in the city of St. Louis. Now having this chaotic proxy fight between the governor, the county executive, and now the courts will finally weigh in on this. I would hope that that will finally bring some resolution to this stuff. But, boy, St. Louis County has really turned into a dysfunctional mess, and that's really problematic, isn't it, John? When we have the city that's, I mean, it's in a death spiral, you need to have some type of stability going on. And we don't seem to have even agreement on what day it is out there.
It's a mess. And I'm of a certain vintage that I remember when Larry Roos was elected county executive in the 1960s. He was coming in and the county was kind of embroiled in a fiasco at that time. And Larry Roos gets elected county executive and kind of stabilizes everything, followed by Gene McNary, who was a very, very effective county executive. H. Milford served for a cup of coffee.
Right.
And then Buzz Westfall. And you look at that history, whether it be Democrat or Republican, St. Louis County has been one of the most stable, effective local governing bodies that we've had in the region, and that's just no longer the case.
And it's just something that's happened here in the last 10 years, and why it's problematic when we're going into this demographic winter, you know, more people dying than moving here or being born here. You know, this crunch on money that's going to come, a city that seems like it's on a crash course towards bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You've got to have some guiding post. And if the largest county in the state's in turmoil, how do you pull it together?
Well, we're about to find out at least who the prosecutor is going to be in St. Louis County, and then we're going to trust the judges to figure that out. We got a lot going on today, Michael. Tim Smith is going to join us. He's the owner of Patriot Commercial Cleaning. He's a U.S. Army veteran affected by the burn pits there in Iraq.
Yes, and we will also have Hancock and Kelly Potpourri on the greatest radio station in the world, KMOX.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters. John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
So have you tossed a couple of jingle jangles in the canister for the Salvation Army this year when you're going into the Chinooks?
So I went to Chinooks yesterday.
Yeah.
And the guy's out there, he's ringing the bell.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Right.
And I got no money. I got my credit. You know, I'm going in to buy.
You're one of those guys. You're averting your eyes so that you're not making eye contact with the guy because you're not going to buck up.
I know. I'm going to go have to withdraw money out of the ATM today so I can donate to the
pay a $3 fee so that you can give a dollar away.
Well, now, if you go to your own bank, you don't have to pay the fee,
right,
Kelly. And you didn't know that the ATM was actually something you can get money out of, right?
What do you mean?
Or you didn't know you could make a deposit at the ATM.
No, my ATM now, my ATM card now is insane. So I'm not going to talk about my bank or who I bank with, but when I put it in there, an actual human pops up and talks to me now on my ATM. And it's not an AI, it's a person. If you go between a certain time and 7 p.m., an actual human is in my ATM machine.
And they show up on the screen there and talk to you.
Yeah, and I tell the lady I'd like to deposit this check, and I'd like to get back $80 from it, and she then spits it out through the machine to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
it's like Jetsons stuff going on.
That's a new player. I don't have – although my ATM card expired in 2019, apparently, and I tried to use it the other day, and it didn't work.
So what are you going to do, go into the bank and get a new one?
Well, I like to bank. You know, I love to go in and visit with the people at the bank there. I got three bank accounts, so I'm all over three different banks.
You're not much of a technology guy. Do you do the banking app on your phone, and et cetera?
There's a website I go to.
Yeah.
And look at what's going on.
Yeah. Well, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. Boy, two articles from the Wall Street Journal. One talking about President Biden's diminishment. And the other one that grabbed my attention was how all these gambling anonymous meetings across the country are filling up with people, particularly men, who are saying that not only the sports betting sites, but even the day trading sites that people can do for the stock market have become addictive for them. Some of the games that people play that they spend money on, that the gambling device essentially now of your phone is causing the rates to rise in these Gambling Anonymous meetings. Is that a surprise to you?
No. You know, we just had the sports gaming initiative on the ballot narrowly passed in Missouri last November. And, you know, having that technology on your phone where you can wager and lose money and, you know, for a whole lot of people in this country, that gambling addiction is devastating.
Mm.
And I think we've seen, you know, casino gambling has become prevalent in most of the country now. And I think you've seen a corresponding rise with folks that are stealing from their employers,
right,
you know, to help cover some of their gambling issues. It's a real societal problem. I'm not surprised to hear that report from the Wall Street Journal.
How about all these sports stars, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Josh Allen? They're going to their football games on a Sunday, and their homes are getting robbed. Last night, the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown, you know him, he was burglarized outside of Boston. So people know these guys are playing their game. They're not there, and they're all being targeted and robbed.
Don't they have like burglar alarms on the house?
I don't know. Are you worried that people know you're on the radio here and they may be out trying to get in?
I got all kinds of people in my house.
Yeah.
There's never a moment that goes by where my house is vacant. I mean, it's, you know, between the kids and my father-in-law and, you know, and then Gus, of course, the greatest guard dog in North America. He's not going to let anybody in there.
Right.
That's what these athletes, they need to get.
They need dogs.
They need dogs out there.
Yeah.
You got burglars who don't like to deal with these dogs.
Yeah, you know, they say when you go out of town, like when I was out of town, if you're going to Italy and you're going to be gone for 10 days, don't be posting photos every day telling people you're not there. Now, it's a little different for me. I live in a building. Nobody was going to be able to come rob me. But, you know, I've heard stories of people who say that the robbers figured out they weren't there by their social media.
Can you imagine being a professional burglar and you're listening to the Voice of St. Louis and you hear Michael Kelly is going to Italy?
Mm-hmm.
And you figure out where he lives. Oh, there it is.
There's nothing in my house.
Exactly.
That's
the whole point. So the burglar goes to all of this trouble. He gets into your thing there.
What do you call it? What is this, a hotel room?
I mean, there's nothing there.
No, I have nothing.
You have nothing in this place.
So, I mean, I'm changing insurance companies, right?
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with the insurance agent the other day, and he's looking through my riders to make sure, oh, yeah, you got to have this for flood insurance. I'm like, dude, I live in an 8-story building.
Right.
It's not going to have floods.
Right.
All this stuff you have to have. And he goes, so I'm looking at what you have for your valuables. And he goes, this is usually the amount I recommend for a college kid.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, talk me through what you have. And I said, well, I got some TVs and a PlayStation and some clothes. And he goes,
that's
what's the matter with you? I said, that's all I got. Yeah, I don't want anything else.
The burglar that would break into your place is going to be absolutely beside himself.
Devastated.
I mean, it's like,
devastated.
Why?
Yes.
Why did I do this?
Yes.
There's nothing here.
And there's nothing to clean up. It's a lovely thing. Huh. I mean, it's like living in a hotel room.
You got any food in there?
No, mainly water.
Huh.
I can walk to the grocery store, so I usually, if I'm going to have food, I go get it that day and cook it that night.
Can you imagine? It doesn't. You break in.
Uh-huh.
You're looking for, there's nothing there.
Nothing.
There's no gold bars. No. There's no, you know, cash laying around. Nothing.
Here's two people who won't be robbing me, but they may be talking to each other. You know, Luigi, the CEO killer. Did you see they took him from Pennsylvania to New York yesterday?
No.
Flew him in a helicopter. Landed him on, you know, one of the you know, ports where they're in Manhattan, and then marched him off of this thing surrounded with all these cops, including the mayor of New York City. It made no sense to me how they've glamorized this guy in like he's Harrison Ford from The Fugitive or something. And they put him in jail. You know who he's jailing with?
No.
Diddy.
Oh.
So Luigi and Diddy
Luigi
are
and
in
Diddy.
The same jail in
Diddy
New York City.
Diddy and Luigi are in the, wow.
Huh.
That's quite a duo.
How about that cell block, huh? Yeah. You think they're rocking in that cell block?
Well, they're probably not having a good time.
Well, you know, the attorneys for both of them, so Luigi's attorney and Diddy's attorney are husband and wife.
Wow.
Yes. That's and now good. They're staying in the same jail.
That's got to be a good payday.
And I think they're both going to meet the same fate, which is not positive. Hey, speaking of not positive outcomes,
yes.
I know you're a big royal guy.
Oh, I love
the royals.
The royal family.
Oh, Charles. And, you know, now mom's gone, so he's getting his chance to be king.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Elizabeth, she's gone. Now we got queen consort, Camilla.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a good title.
No.
They got to come up with a better title than queen consort.
Well, at least they didn't call her. What was that word you used earlier? Queen Copatino? It's another C word. So anyway, queen consort, Camilla. And then, of course, we all know you got the prince there.
Yeah, Andrew.
Prince Andrew, the brother, he's in trouble.
Yeah, he's not a very good guy.
Tied up with Epstein.
Yeah.
You know, of course, he was married to Sarah Ferguson. You had that whole nightmare going on. Well, apparently there is a biography coming out on him at the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
And he's being ostracized from the family. It must be.
Well, they've
be
already
just,
cut him off.
Right. He's not at any of the Christmas events, et cetera. There's speculation now that he is going to flee
England.
Britain because he may get, you know, arrested or brought up into charges, and that he's been offered a palace in Abu Dhabi, which is what, the UAE, I think, or, you know, somewhere there in the Middle East.
Wow.
Where he might flee because he's been disowned by his own brother, and the American and other authorities may be after him.
Wow, so he's off to Abu Dhabi.
Potentially. This is all, you know, the royals, Andrew, they don't get to do anything in quiet. People watching.
Yeah, well, and this guy, he's bad news. He's apparently going to Abu Dhabi. He's going to have a little palace out there.
Well, I mean, the palace he may wind up in could be, you know, 6x6.
Yes,
could be. He could have some trouble.
All right, when we come back, Michael.
What, are we done with potpourri?
We are done, because when we come back, Tim Smith, he's the owner of Patriot Commercial Cleaning Company. He's a U.S. Army veteran. He's got a new book out, and he's gone through some just personal tragedy, and his resilience is remarkable. His story is remarkable, and he's going to join us right after this on KMOX.
Welcome back to Hancock and Kelly. We go now to the celebrity guest line, where we're joined by Tim Smith. He's the owner of Patriot Commercial and Cleaning. He's also a U.S. Army veteran. Mr. Smith, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really good this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come on your radio show.
Patriot Commercial Cleaning, tell us what it is that you do.
So I'm an Army Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. And what I try to do is hire a lot of veterans and family members of veterans to clean commercial office space, schools. We do a lot of schools like Koryasu High School, Incarnate Word, St. Louis Gives, News Channel 5. Basically, 30,000 square feet or more we clean Monday through Friday. And it's just great working with a lot of the vets and the family members of vets. And my wife, Terry, helps me with the business. Pretty much helps me running is my son Timmy Jr.
Well, that's great.
And Tyler will help, and it's great.
Yeah.
And you've recently released a book called A Patriot's American Dream. You served in Iraq. You were exposed to the burn pits there. You've been dealing with the effects of that. Tell me about this book.
Yeah, so Patriot's American Dream, I actually started writing in 2016. I found out because of my exposure to when I was in Iraq in 2004, they diagnosed me in 2016 with basically lung cancer. So they had to take out 25% of my right lung. Then I had to do 4 rounds of chemo. Then it came back again in 2019. Then I used a medication called Tagrisso, beat it again. Then it came back again in 2022. Did radiation, beat it again. Then it came back in 2024. I just got done doing about 9 rounds of chemo. I don't think I'm going to be as fortunate this time. I would have to stay on chemo the rest of my life, basically. So I was like, well, let's just go from there and just trying to live the rest of my time happy and just chilling out with the family and enjoying it around the holidays.
And the book was, I mean, what a story of resilience and perseverance through all of those things. And in the midst of all of those things, you start a business. And you've got your wife and Tim Jr. That are very involved in the business. Can people get it? The book is very inspirational. How can people find it? Is it everywhere? Yeah.
They can go to my Facebook page at Timothy Smith and look for A Patriot's American Dream. There's the Facebook page there. They could order it online. Also, it was with a St. Louis publisher publishing concepts off of Scanlon that they could find it on. They did a great job. Dan Kern was my publisher along with Joe, and they ended up turning this book out in about a month, which is pretty amazing. I was so happy, and they've done a great job, I think.
You enlisted in the military. You got sent to Iraq. I would imagine you lost a lot of your fellow warriors while you were there. Tell me about that experience going to Iraq in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so I was over there in the early April of around April 28th, 2004, I was over there. Me and my buddy Doc Darley went out the day before. We were getting ready to go to Fort St. Michael and Mamadiya, which basically the Battle of Fallujah is going on there. We were buying, Doc Darley was buying some, basically one of the little phones to talk to his daughters. The next day, April 29th, Doc Darlin and a total of eight of my buddies got killed in action by a VBIED. It was tough to deal with. You're with them the one day. The next day you're gone, and you really don't get a time to grieve when you're over there because the mission comes first, and you pretty much boot up the next day and go to work, and you're there for your buddies.
Yeah, I don't think people... You know, we celebrate Veterans Day, Memorial Day, but I don't think people really appreciate the profound sacrifice that our service men and women provide to this country. You've lived it. You were there. You've suffered the consequences of it. And just as we enter into this holiday season, Tim, I want to thank you profoundly for your service to your country, to your community, and yeah. And wish you and your family the merriest of Christmas seasons. If folks want to hire Patriot Cleaning Services, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, they could call my wife, Terry, at 314-456-2792. And then 5 years ago, we actually started a roofing company called Patriot Industries, where we do flat roofs and shingle roofs, same number. And I just want to say thank you to all the St. Louis people are great. St. Louis is a great place to live. Lived here pretty much my whole life besides this time I was in the military, and absolutely love it. I think it's a great place to raise a family, and hopefully it just keeps going in that direction. I hopefully we can come together and hopefully get some vets employed and go from there.
He is retired Sergeant Tim Smith. The book is A Patriot's American Dream. We highly recommend you get it. Merry Christmas to you, Tim, and your family. And, John, so many of our veterans have gone there and have this story.
And I don't think we, you know, I don't think we fully appreciate that service and the impact that it makes. And what these folks endure.
I mean, he was talking about being, you know, in a car, buying something with somebody, and the next day that person's not there.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but you have to continue on with your mission, and your mission is life and death.
Yeah.
What we've put our men and women through is just unbelievable, and, we thank him for his service, and I know I'll be thinking of him and his family over this Christmas.
Well, we need to step aside. The news is next here on the Voice of St. Louis. When we come back, Russ Kustrich. He's a managing director, portfolio manager, and global allocation team at BlackRock. He's going to talk to us about the outcome of this latest Fed meeting and what our investment situation looks like heading into 2025. That's next.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on KMOX.
Well, it's been quite a week on Wall Street. The Dow was on its longest streak going down since in quite some time.
Yeah.
It's bounced back almost 200 points today. All this, John, with the backdrop of the Fed making its announcement, making a quarter point adjustment. Boy, things are chaotic. Joining us on the celebrity guest line right now is Russ Kostrich. He's the managing director and portfolio manager for the global allocation team of BlackRock. Russ, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me today.
So is this all in response that we've got an uptick of 200 points, but we've been on a streak we haven't seen since the 70s in terms of losing? Is this all a result of the Fed and the cuts that they are making or are planning not to make in the future?
Well, it's mostly about the Fed, but it's worth pointing out to the listeners that even though the Dow had this terrible streak coming into the meeting, the other indices that people watch, like the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, they've actually been doing extremely well. So part of what happened is while some of the names in the Dow were struggling, overall, the market was having a good go of it. It rallied quite a bit after the election, and everybody sort of decided they wanted to buy stocks. And when there was a bit of bad news from the Fed, you know, they sort of put coal in everybody's stockings, and it took the market down for a couple of days.
Well, is it really bad news from the Fed? They're making another cut here after the first of the year, correct?
They are. So it wasn't the decision on this month that dislocate everybody. It's what the Fed said about the future. And they said a couple of things that were not expected. First of which, they expect inflation to be a bit higher. And if inflation's a bit higher, they'll have less latitude to cut. And they confirmed that by lowering their forecast of how many cuts they were going to do next year. So they still plan to cut, still plan to lower rates, but not as far and not as fast as people had hoped. And that's why the market reacted the way it did.
We're visiting with Russ Kostrich, who is with BlackRock. How much of a concern in the market are the potential of the tariff policies of the incoming administration? Is that something that potentially fuels inflation, or are the folks kind of not so concerned about it?
Well, it could. And I think it really comes down to how you think these tariffs are going to be implemented. Is the talk about tariffs, is that really a negotiating tool, or are we going to see the type of cross-the-board increase in tariffs that could raise prices? And I think that's an unknown, and probably one of the things the Fed is wrestling with is they don't know either. So it does create this uncertainty, and it adds to the fact that the Fed's not really completely confident about how much their current level of interest rates is helping the economy or hurting it. And that's why you've got this this rethinking about how much they may need or not need to cut interest rates in 2025.
So if you're looking down the road at 2025, and it's right upon us now, do you have a sense on what the market is likely to do, at least in the first quarter of 25?
Well, I do think there's some good news. You know, it's worth reminding everyone this week that the economy is strong. And while higher rates, you know, can be a bit of a headwind for stocks, one of the things that's driven this market higher, and I believe will continue to drive it higher in 2025, is a strong economy that is helping companies grow their earnings at a healthy pace. And if that continues, if we have another year without recession, and I don't think we will have a recession, that's an environment where corporate earnings are likely to power stocks higher. even if it happens in the context of the Fed being maybe a little less friendly than the market had hoped for.
Russ, if people wanted to find more information about what it is that you do, where can they go and get that?
Well, they can certainly go to our website, to blackrock.com, and find all sorts of information, and be a great opportunity to hear more about what we're thinking.
And finally, last question for you. Jerome Powell, a controversial figure, particularly as it relates to the former and future president's Twitter handle. Many people think he'll try to pressure Jerome Powell out. That's not possible, is it? The president doesn't have a say over who runs the Fed, does he, or when the Fed chairman has to go?
Well, the president certainly appoints the Fed chairman, but you're right. Generally, it has not been the practice for a president to remove a Fed chairman while his term is still going on. Legal scholars may go back and forth and debate that, but it would certainly be a very unusual action if President Trump were trying to remove Chairman Powell. Our view is that, you know, he's likely to serve out his term.
I want to thank our guest, Russ Kostrich. He's the Managing Director, Portfolio Manager, and member of the Global Allocation Team at BlackRock. Thanks so much for your insights as we come upon the Christmas holiday season. Russ, thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday.
All right.
I've been watching the market the last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just going down.
Really
down.
Interesting, though. The stock market, the Dow Jones is going
right
down, but the NASDAQ is and S&P are doing fine.
I don't understand any of it.
I don't either.
You know what I mean? I just wait for the statements at the end of the month, and they say, Mike, you got another $100 or you lost $300
right
this month. And then you look at it, and you do what everybody says, which is just forget about it and wait until you're going to retire, right?
Retire.
When are we going to do that?
Retire?
Yeah.
My retirement's going to be at Bope Chapel.
B-O-P-P?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
going to be quite a retirement, John.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave some money for me to throw the party if I'm going to have to host the retirement?
Well, Georgianne's going to throw the party. and it'll be,
Speaking of the party, the college football playoff championships start tonight. The Lord's team takes on the Hoosiers over in Indiana.
The Lord's team.
Notre Dame, you know, come on. But everybody knows that Notre Dame is, you know, the Lord's team.
When's the last time they won the national championship?
Well, this year may be the first time they've done it in quite some time. We're going to talk about the college football championship.
I think Indiana's going to beat them.
Something happened last night that hasn't happened in 30 or 40 years. I'm sure John will be able to explain it to us.
I know about stuff.
We'll talk about it after this on Hancock and Kelly here on KMOX.
Can he bang it through? On its way, it is, yep.
Made history.
Bells will be ringing.
So did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a free kick took place at the end of the second quarter last night.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker for the Chargers be in their territory, in Chargers territory, kicked the ball with none of the opponents in front of him.
Yeah.
All the way down and through the uprights, and they wound up being 3 points.
Yeah, 57-yard field goal.
No, it wasn't a field goal. It was a free kick.
Well, it's a field goal.
Well, I mean, the score was a field goal. But had you seen that before?
Oh, yeah, the free kick.
You remember 30 years ago? They said it was the first time it happened in 30 years.
48 years.
48.
And, to be precise.
Right. And you knew what was happening?
Well, yes, because that's the rule, a free kick rule.
All right, explain to me exactly what happened.
So
last
you
night.
Get the free kick. You don't see a lot of it. It's, you know,
right.
Doesn't happen every week in the National Football League.
No.
But what the situation is time is expiring at the half or at the end of the game.
Uh-huh.
And there's a punt ensues, and the punt is taken, and the receiving team calls for a fair catch.
Right.
And as we know from...
You can't tackle them then, and they can't advance it once they catch it.
Correct.
Okay.
But the clock expires while the ball is in flight.
In the air. Okay.
So when you have the that particular dynamic, the half or the game cannot expire on a fair catch.
Okay.
Nor can it expire on a penalty. And the receiving team in this case has an option to choose to do a free kick. Now, they could either do a place kick.
Like we saw last night.
They could choose to do a drop kick, which we've seen in the past in the National Football League, and where you drop the ball and kick the ball.
Did you know the rule when it was happening last night?
Well, I recalled, back when I was 12.
Well,
the San Diego Chargers, ironically enough,
were
the last team to execute a free kick, and it was none other than the great place kicker Ray Wershing for the San Diego Chargers in 1976, who made a
Was he from Washington?
No, he was Ray Wershing. But last night's kick was the longest free kick in the history of the National Football
League. I still don't understand exactly what happened. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but what the rules were in terms of being able to block it, because there was nobody on the line. Like, you couldn't go up and try to keep him from hitting
it. It's called a free kick. That's why it's a free kick, because you can't block
now,
the kick.
Can I tell the real story?
Yeah.
I came in this morning and argued with this guy for 3 minutes at like 7:30, where he was like, Kelly, it was a field goal. I said, no, it wasn't a field goal. And he goes, if the guy lined up and kicked the ball through the uprights, it's a field goal.
Of course it is.
But it wasn't a field goal. It was a free kick. And he goes, a free kick? What are you talking about, Kelly? That's how it went down. So then you've now since done research.
Well, I try to keep conversant with the rules of the sports
abreast as to what you're up to.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with the fact that this evening the college football playoffs start?
First time. We get 12 teams in the playoffs.
Right. And of course, if you're going to, kick something off, why not have it the quintessential American football team there? Notre Dame is hosting the University of Indiana in Indiana. Both of them are Indiana teams.
Right.
It's snowing right now in South Bend. This is the first time there's going to be a home game in a college football playoff, and it's happening at Notre Dame. I know our own Tom Ackerman and Joe Buck and so many of those guys who went to Indiana are excited about Indiana. But let's be honest, they're taking on the Lord's team and the Fighting Irish.
Indiana's
it's probably going to be a dismal outcome.
Indiana's going to win this game.
Why do you say that?
Because they're a great to one loss team.
So is Notre Dame.
Had a remarkable season.
So did Notre Dame.
You lost to Northern Illinois, did they not?
Oh, who's Indiana play? Indiana school for,
they would have
armless people.
They would have beaten Northern Illinois.
They ain't
going to
beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, they are.
Notre Dame beats them all, brother.
No.
Listen. It's going to be exciting to watch tonight. Are you going to watch it?
Probably, unless there's a rerun of Beverly Hillbillies or something.
Say what?
Yeah.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
One of the great shows of all time.
Now, I know that you are into the Jingle All the Way.
Yes, that's a Christmas Eve tradition at the Hancock home.
Mm-hmm.
A great motion picture, one of the epic holiday dramas of comedies ever produced, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh.
And what's her name? It's married to Tom Hanks.
Rena Wilson?
Yeah, Rita Wilson.
Rita Wilson?
She's Greek, by the way.
She is.
Yeah, I bet you didn't know that.
I did, because she produces the Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was with someone last night at a cocktail party, holiday deal, one of these things, and we were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the table in front of us was messy. And so I said to the lady that was there, I said, hey, would it be possible for us to get some Windex? And the guy comes over to me and he says, my friend says, I'm obsessed with Windex. And I said, I am too. I buy Windex jugs.
Yeah.
And I think I may have been inspired by my Big Fat Greek wedding where the guy walked around with Windex.
Everywhere.
But Windex can literally clean anything. You can use it in the bathroom, on the walls in the kitchen, on the wood. I mean, you can use Windex on anything.
What's it made out of?
I don't know.
The Windex.
That's a good question.
So, because you put the size blue.
Uh-huh.
It's in the little jug there, and you squirt it around. But what's in there? Is there alcohol in there?
Well, there's got to be ammonia or some type of like bacterial killing thing.
Let's find out what's in the Windex.
Okay, let's find out.
Well, James, do you know what's in the Windex? James doesn't know.
When you do Windex, when you clean windows, are you a paper towel guy or are you a newspaper guy to wipe up
Well, who
Windex?
Has newspaper anymore? I used to be a newspaper guy.
I never understood that. Why you would do that, but it cleans better than
that's what my mother always said.
Yeah,
get the newspaper, and now I'm a paper towel guy.
Yeah, I wonder what fills the bottom of parakeet cages now, since there's no such thing as newspapers.
Well, that's a really good question.
Maybe Elon Musk tweets.
Yeah, could be
at the bottom there, just print it out.
Yeah,
Wrapping paper?
All right.
What are you looking for? Windex?
I got it right here, big boy.
All right. Tell me what's up there, big boy.
All right. Here's what's in Windex. And I know people are fascinated.
Water
with this.
Is going to be the number one ingredient.
That is correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Pneumonia. Right. Ammonia. Ammonia.
Nope.
No. Blue dye number six.
Nope. So the second most common after water is cleaning agents. Well, they're in there.
Really?
They could be ethylene glycol in hexyl ether.
Mm.
Could be
ether.
Monosopropylamine and ammonium hydroxide.
I don't know that I should be. Ammonia. I was right. Ammonium hydroxide. I don't know that I should be putting this on everything.
Then you got your wedding agents in there too.
Wedding agents?
Yeah, uh huh. You got the wetting, not wedding.
Wetting.
Yeah.
Well, that would be water.
That would be lauryl dimethyl amine oxide and sodium diosibilazine sulfonate.
Sodium something.
This
or
is why.
Than
this
everything.
Is why we're all dying out here, folks.
You think it's Windex?
We're spraying this crap all over. And then you got the fragrance, which they
any reference to the blue dye?
Dye such as liquitant sky blue dye.
Hey now,
and then of course you got your solvents in there.
So the I do know the dye serves no other purpose than to show you where you've squirted.
Right. Well, yeah. And then, but then you got your preservative agents. Some of the Windex products contain these, such as sodium citrate stabilizer and sodium carbonate pH adjuster.
Ooh, that sounds like stuff you could put under your eye bag.
You need
bags under your eyes, and it would cause things to go away.
Something would happen if you started doing all that. So that's what's in the Windex, folks. And I thought, as a public service to all of you, we would.
Well, anyway, I like Windex. I'm obsessed with it. Are you a Windex guy?
No, I'd stay away from the bicarbonate whatever stuff.
John, this is coming from a guy who will put almost anything else in his body. But you're worried about what's in Windex?
Well, it's the additives in the food. You know, I've been taking a shot of olive oil every night.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, the extra virgin olive oil.
Do you know the difference between olive oil and extra virgin olive oil?
Oh, yeah. It has to do with the olives don't, mate.
So my understanding, based on my little tour that I did,
uh-huh.
to create extra olive virgin olive oil, you just simply take the olives and you smash them in a hydraulic press, and whatever oil comes out of them, for it, that's considered to be extra virgin. Other olive oils, sometimes they boil the olives first, and then they compress it, et cetera.
You boil the olives, and you ruin the whole, you got to have the virgins out there.
It probably produces more olive oil that way, but I can understand that you would be into the virgin olive oil.
I am, and I'm a picture of health over here. We need to step aside, Michael.
That's right. We're going to join my buddy Amy, who I was with earlier in the week, and my understanding is Chris has returned.
Yeah, he's here. James O'Sullivan, thank you.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.